Okay, tonight we are in Judges chapter 18. Like we talked about last week, 17, 18, and following are basically times that have taken place not so much during the times of the judges, but when a judge would pass away and there would be no one and the people began to do whatever they wanted. That's what these chapters are, just little glimpses. Each chapter is just a glimpse of what has taken place in those times when they did not have a spiritual leader or a king to follow or a judge to lead them. And so that's what's taking place here in this chapter 18. So let's ask a blessing on the word real quick. Father, as we open your word right now, I pray that you'd help us to see, help us to understand what it is you have for us. Lord, as we come and we set before you, Lord, open our eyes that we'd see what it is you have for us, that we would honor you and glorify you with this time. Lord, in all that's said and all we understand, may you be praised. In your name we pray. Amen. Chapter 18, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. And so that's one of those times there was no king, but there was also no judge. It was shortly after Joshua had passed, and so they were looking for someone to lead them, and they didn't really have anybody, and so they kind of did whatever they wanted to. And so it says, and in those days the tribe of the Danites were seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in, for until the day their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So it sounds like the Danites, the tribe of Dan, had come to a point and they're looking for a place to stay. They're looking for some place, and it calls it an inheritance, but it's a land because the land had all been split once they came into the promised land, and they had set it up that this tribe would get here and this tribe would get this and this, and it was all split up that they would get a certain parcel of land that they would settle in. But part of that agreement was when you go in, the people, the Canaanites, are going to be there, and you need to drive them out of the land. You need to fight the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and all the other ites that were there. But you were to take and you were to fight them and drive them out. And God had promised that that would take place if you would just go in and do it. Well, Dan had been given, the tribe of Dan, the Danites, had been given a place, a property, an inheritance that they were supposed to stay in. And the problem was the people that were there, they thought were too much for them to fight against. And so they did not drive them out. And that's the background to this story, is they're still seeking an inheritance, a place to dwell, because they just wanted things handed to them, basically. God had said, here's the land. It had been split up. Joshua, they had split up all the land, and this was your section. This was where you were to go. But there were people there, and they just wanted God to hand them that land without having to work at it. And of course, that strikes pretty close to home sometimes for us, because when God promises us something, we have the idea, the understanding that it should just be given to us. God has promised us all these blessings. God has promised us if we'll walk and we'll follow Him that this and this and this will take place. It's in His Word. It's a promise. But we would just prefer that He go ahead and give it to us than require us to do something to inherit that. And that's what the Danites, they were not willing to do what God had promised to give to them. They were not willing to fight and to drive out those in the land. And so they kind of stayed among them. And the Philistines more or less ruled over a lot of the Danites at that time. And so they began to move and they began to look for another place to dwell because they wanted a place that was easy to live in. And so they're looking for their inheritance to dwell in, for until that day they had never found a place because the one had not fallen to them. It had been given to them, but it had not fallen. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah to Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. So that sounds pretty familiar, right? Because the spies had been sent out to the land before, and that worked. You know, God said, hey, send out the spies, and Joshua and Caleb were in that group, and they sent out the spies, and they come back with the report that all of these people are in the land, and this grapes were so big it took two people to carry a cluster of grapes and all of this, but they give a bad report, and they didn't think they could do it. Caleb said, no, God has promised us that we could and we can. And so sending the spies out kind of worked and kind of didn't. I mean, they found what they were supposed to find when they went there. So now the tribe of Dan says, hey, let's just do the same thing. We're going to find five guys, men of valor from our tribe, and we're going to send them out, and they're going to spy out some other land. So it's not the promised land that they're looking for. It's not the land that God is sending them into. Don't miss this. It says they were seeking an inheritance for themselves to dwell in. And so they were going out on their own, sending these spies out to find a territory of their own. And so they send these spies out. It says, go search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim. We talked about that last week in chapter 17. Who lived in the mountains of Ephraim? Micah. And so they come to the house of Micah and lodged there. That was the normal thing. When you traveled through, you just the hospitality, the rule was in that time that you just stayed at someone's house. Well, they picked the house of Micah. And we know from last week that didn't work out too well with Micah because of what he's doing. So they recognized the voice of a young Levite. Here are these Danites, these people from the tribe of Israel, and they find this person. I joked with Sandra about that southern drawl, you know, that I could kind of pick that up just a little bit. And that's kind of what they did. They walk up to the house of Micah, and they hear this guy that he's got this Levite sound to him. And they recognize him as a Levite, and they turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? Remember, the Levite priests were supposed to be in a certain number of cities, and this wasn't one of them. He had came from a city that wasn't supposed to be where he wasn't supposed to be, and now he's here in Ephraim, in the mountains. How did you get here? Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? That's questions they have for him. What do you have here? What would make you stay? You're supposed to be a priest of God, and here you are in the mountains of Ephraim. Why are you here? Well, we know the reason he's there is because he was wandering, looking for a place, a way to make a living. But anyway, these five spies come, and they come to the house of Micah, and they recognize this Levite, and they ask him what he's doing here. And he said to them, thus and so. So basically, it was like this, and he told them. And Micah did for me. This is what Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest. So he comes right out, and he tells these Danites, hey, this Micah guy, he paid me to be his priest. So I became his priest because he's willing to pay me. So they said to him, please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous. Now, if we go back to the spies that were sent out, and they go back and they report good, here these spies go, and surely we found this priest, this Levite priest. All they know of him is why he's there and that he's been paid by Micah to be Micah's priest in his house. And they said, well, inquire of God. Go to God and tell us, are we on a journey that we should be on? And this is the first that we find out from in this chapter that they are actually seeking God's direction. And so they go to the priest. I mean, that's where they should be going. They go to a priest and ask him to inquire of God, is this journey that we're on going to be prosperous? And the priest said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. Did you miss anything in there? He never talked to God. He just said, oh, go ahead, God be with you. You know, we've shortened that nowadays to goodbye, you know, type of deal. That's where that came from. But he's basically, go in peace, you'll be all right. May God be with you. So he did not even go to God like they asked him to. So the five men departed and went to Laish. And they saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. Remember what they're running from. They didn't want the land that was given to them because that was fighting. So we want to go somewhere that's quiet and safe because that's more comfortable. And as Christians, hey, we seek out where, you know, where does God want us to go? God, as what I'm doing, is it going to be prosperous, God? And we go on our way and we look for something that's comfortable and quiet and peaceful. God didn't send them to this place, but that's where they went. And so they go to Laish, and there's no war there. The Sidonians were a ways away, and so there was no real problems. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They could kind of do whatever they wanted, and nobody would say a word. Wouldn't shame them for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Man, they had life pretty well set for what they wanted because nobody was going to hold them accountable. Nobody was going to get upset if they chose to do something. They were going to leave them alone. They are clear out, clear up to the top, as far away from Shiloh, the temple, as they could get. You've heard in the scripture from Dan to Beersheba. Dan was as far as you could get away from the presence of God. And they chose that. How many times do we want the peace and the quiet, thinking, oh, everything's going to work out good, and the next thing we know, we realize, and we are a long ways from the presence of God. Because if things are going peaceful and smooth to me, as a Christian, that shouldn't be. Because the cross is an offense to the world. And the world is going to be upset. And so if I'm able to live peaceful and quiet and do whatever I want and everything's working out for me, then the chances are I'm somewhere on a quest of my own instead of doing what God's purpose is for my life. And so they had no ties to anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, what is your report? So they said, arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. Okay. Now before, they weren't wanting to go in and possess the land that God had given them. But here are these people that live up there in peace and quiet and don't affect anybody. That's kind of what we want. So we'll go up and we'll fight them. We'll go up and fight for something that we want instead of fight for something that God wants. God had given them the land, and they weren't willing to fight for it. But they were willing to fight for what they wanted. And that's kind of the way we are. We'll fight for what we want, but when God says, stand up for me, take a stance for me, fight for me, well, you know, I don't want to be confrontational. I don't want to cause problems. We don't want to fight for what God calls us to stand and fight for, but we'll fight for what we want. And so they're going to go and they're going to enter and possess the land. And when you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land. For God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. And we've got everything we could ever want here. And who is telling them this? Who is saying this? This is those five spies. And those five spies are saying, God has given it into your hands. Did anybody ever talk to God about this? Not according to what we read. The priest just said, go on your way, God be with you. They go and they find this land that it's exactly what they want. And they're saying, well, God will give it into your hands if you'll just go. Verse 11 says, and 600 men of the family of the Danites went there from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped at Kirjath Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they called the place Mahanadan to this day. There it is, west of the Kirjath Jearim. And they passed from here to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. So now they're headed back and they're going and they're prepared to fight now for this land that they want. They're getting exactly what they've looked for. If we can just take care of these people, then we'll be okay. We can have that quiet, peaceful land that we want. We'll fight for what we want. And so they make their way that direction, 600 men, and they come to the house of Micah. And the five men who had gone to spy out the country at Laish answered and said to their brethren, do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and molten image? Okay, so these five men are saying, hey, in this house, it's kind of a temple in this house. There's all these idols, not just one idol. There's a graven image. All of these things are in there. An ephod was a way to worship God. It was a kind of a breast, kind of a jacket type of a deal that they would use to talk to God. And these household idols and carved images and molded images all in Micah's house. Now, therefore, consider what you should do. And here they are, they're Danites, they're from the tribe of God, and so they are come across this house that has all these idols in it. And so when you hear that question, you think, you know, here's a house with all these idols, serving idols, worshiping idols that are not God. We know that's not right. What do you think we should do? Consider what you should do. So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man to the house of Micah and greeted him. Then the 600 men armed with their weapons of war who were of the children of Dan stood at the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molten image. Now, a lot of times when they would go out to war in those days, they would break in and they would take all these idols and they would take anything that people used to worship and they would take it to show that they had power over their God. So it sounds like maybe that's what's happening. You know, we're going to take their silver. You know, we know some of those images were made out of 200 shekels of silver that told us about a chapter ago. And so maybe they're going to take those, melt them down and have that silver. They're taking back the idols, but that's not the case. And so they go into the house and they greet him. They take the idols, 600 men armed with weapons of war from Dan. These five men go in, they take the ephod, they take the household images. And the priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went to Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molten image, the priest said to them, what are you doing? And they said to him, be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. They're not coming to, you know, to take those weapons and show that God is stronger, or those idols. They're coming to take those idols so that they can worship them. Man, here they are. They're going so far from where God wanted them to be. They're going to fight for what they want. And now they're picking up idols that they can serve when they get there. And so they even ask the priest, hey, come with us. You know, first of all, shut up, cover your mouth, don't say anything. Okay? That's the way you talk to your priest back then, I guess. I don't know. It says, be a father and a priest to us. It is better for you to be a priest to the household of one man or to be the priest to a tribe and a family in Israel. They just now are connecting to the tribe of the family of Israel. All the things that they've done have nothing to do with tying them back to God. And now all of a sudden, they're going to try to, we want a priest that we can, that we know has been bought to get to where he's at. And now we want one that's willing to duck out in the middle of the night and come with us. He's a real loyal guy. That's the priest we want right there, okay? And so they're trying to get him to come over to their side. Oh, would you rather be the priest of just one man's house or a whole family of Israel? Man. So the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod, the house idols and carved image, and took his place among the people. He bailed on Micah. And yeah, Micah wasn't a really good guy, but he was only there because he had been paid in the first place. And so this man is now, this priest, this Levite, is turning his back on Micah, which it wasn't a good situation. He shouldn't have been there anyway. But now he's following these people. But what does this Levitical priest do when he leaves? Yes, getting out of that situation would have been a good thing. But he got out and says, So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, the carved image, and went with the people. He took false idols. This is a Levitical priest. This is a man of God, at least as he should have been through God's ordination of the tribe of Levites, and he's willingly going to go with, hey, this is where the bigger money's at. I'm going to follow, but I'm going to take these carved images and I'm going to go. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. So they're leaving. We got 600 of them, and then we got this priest, and they may have had a few more at this point that came along. But as they get ready to go, they get ready to travel, and what are we going to do? We're going to put all the young kids out in front. So surely if we run into anybody, they're not going to attack a bunch of kids. We're going to put our livestock out there, and we're going to put all the goods out in front. And when they were a good ways away from the house of Micah, the men who were in the house of Micah, in Micah's house, gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. So they caught up with them, and they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, what ails you that you have gathered such a company? So he had gathered enough people that he's willing to chase them down. And their question when they turn around and face him is, what's wrong with you? What are you upset about? And so he's confronted, this tribe is confronted, they're departed, and he says, what's wrong with you? So he said, you have taken away my gods, which I made. If we stop right there, that sounds ridiculous. That's like, well, I made God. Doesn't work that way. So he's upset because you have taken the gods that I made, my gods, the gods I worship, I know they're my gods because I made them. As silly as that sounds to us, there are so many people today that worship gods that they made. Because that way they can be in control. Because Micah could, if he's having a religious experience and he sets that idol up in the house, but if he's having a bad day, he can tuck that thing under the bed. And that thing's not going to do anything. But they're, not only that, they're he's willing to go out and he's willing to fight for this God that he made. Man, he's facing 600 people here, 600 men of war, armed for battle, over a $200 shekel God. Some people will do a lot for the gods they created, even though they're worth nothing. A lot of people are that way today. But he tells them, when they ask, what's wrong with you? He says, you have taken away my gods which I have made, and the priest, you have gone away. What more do I have? Everything in Micah, right here, he says, what do I have if I don't have a priest that I had to buy and an idol that I had to make, a god that I had to make? If I don't have that, I have nothing. Dude, you have nothing. Either way, even if they give it all back, even if the priest comes back, you still have nothing. And he says, how can you say what ails me? How can you say what's wrong with me when you've took everything out of my life? You've taken the priest that I had to buy. You've taken the idols, the gods that I made. And you want to know what's wrong with me? When you talk to people and you're trying to share with them the love of Jesus Christ and their life is centered around some other god and they'll tell you, I'm not ready to surrender my God. And you say, without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. And they don't understand because everything they have is revolved around what they think is God. It may be a house, it may be a car, it may be a person, it may be any number of a job, it could be any number of things. And when those things are taken away, they say, I don't have anything. Man, you take away my job, I have nothing. You take away my car, I have nothing. You take away this person, that person, you take away this situation in my life, I have nothing. Man, he was willing to face these men of war because of what he put his value on, which was nothing. And the children of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household. So they basically threatened him, hey, you need to close your mouth and go back home. Then the children of Dan went their way. When Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So he gives up. He just lets it go. They decide they're going to keep it, and they take off. 27, it says, so they took the things Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him, another statement that really ought to just blow somebody's mind. Yeah, the priest belongs to me. It's not the same as when you say, that's my pastor or that's my church. It's like, oh, that church belongs to me. You know, that pastor belongs to me. That's what they're saying. This priest belonged to them. But he really did. But he wasn't much of a priest. And so they said, they took the things that Micah made and the priest that belonged to him and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon. See, that's why they wanted it. Here's the people that protected this city, the people that would have been the military backing were the Sidon, and they were so far away that they knew that they wouldn't be there in time. So they had no ties with anyone, so they had no help. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob, so they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. So they come in, not thinking very well, obviously, and they come in and they slay all the people and they burn the city. And then they turn around and they got to build it back. But that's what they wanted. They wanted things their way. That's what they wanted. And so they burned the city, they come back, and they rebuild it, rebuilt the city, and they dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. Now, that Manasseh, as it says there, in a lot of other scriptures that are written, it actually traces those names, Jonathan, Gershon, Moses. So, a descendant of Moses and their sons. So, this priest that they're following, this Levite, this is his background. And so they stayed, and the tribe of Dan, that was basically their lineage of priests until the time of captivity. So they went up for themselves. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved images, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And again, the house of God in Shiloh was just as far away as they could possibly get from God's presence. And when you get that far from God's presence, you begin to set up and worship whoever you want. You begin to do whatever you want. When you wander away from God's presence, the farther you get, the more you're going to find that you are going to be worshiping someone else's gods that are not really gods at all. So as we look at this, I want to point out a few things that they did, and some of them we may have already talked about just a little bit, but it's things that we do today, things that people do today. One, we refuse what God has promised them. God had promised them land, and they refused that. God has promised us not treasures here on earth, but an opportunity to serve Him, worship Him, minister for Him, and bring other people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we know that the times and the troubles on this earth, the blessings will far outweigh them someday. But we refuse what God has promised us. That's what they did. It didn't work out for them. If they had just taken what God had promised them in the first place, none of this other stuff would have happened. But they didn't want to fight for what they believed in. They didn't want to stand for what God had called them to stand for. They wanted things given to them, handed to them with no issues. They refused to take the land that God promised. Today, Christians refuse to take the stance God calls us to take. And because of that, we miss out on the blessings. Because of that, we end up going through a lot of other things that we shouldn't have, that we wouldn't have had to go through otherwise. Next, they sought what they could control. They wanted these gods that they could control. They wanted Micah's priest because, hey, we can pay you more than he can. We want something that we can control. And if you can control it, it's not God. But that's what people want today, is to be able to control their God. And so they are going to follow what is their God. But it's not God. They wanted what they could control. And that's why a lot of people don't want to follow the Creator, the God of the universe, is because they can't control Him. They want to follow something they can control, because then that makes them God. The third thing, they worshiped what they knew had no power. Now stop and think. Here they come, and they come to Micah. And this is Micah's shrine, his temple in his house. If this had been a real God, if this had been a God that could protect Micah, then they wouldn't have been able to take him. But they knew, hey, we can just walk right into that temple. We can just walk right into that shrine in Micah's house, reach over on the shelf and grab that molten image and walk out the door with it, and that molten image isn't going to do a thing. But yet it was worth everything to them. They were willing to take something and worship something that they knew had no power. If it didn't have enough power to keep you from taking it from Micah, then what power is it going to have when you worship it now? And that's exactly the way the world is today. They worship so many things that they know have no power. Oh, it's excitement in my life, and it's things that get me what I want. But then if I lose that job, or that house burns down, or something else happens to alter that situation, I've worshiped something that I obviously had no power. And then the last one, they lived and were content to live a great distance from the presence of God. And they stayed that way, never having a desire to go back to Shiloh. Too many times Christians today are content to live however far they are away from God. Now, maybe they were clear up at Dan. They were just as far away as they could get, but they were content with where they're at. And they stayed there until they were taken into captivity. Had they been 15 miles away from Shiloh, had they been 20 miles away from Shiloh, had they been 5 miles away from Shiloh and content to be there, they would have been in a terrible state. Because if we're ever content to be where we are and not drawing closer to the presence of God, then we're in trouble. They were content to be clear up at Laish. But there are so many times that we are content to be just where we are. I'm doing okay. I just have no desire to be closer to God. They had no desire to be closer to Shiloh. Well, let's don't go clear up there because that's a long ways from Shiloh. Well, I'm content with where I'm at. I've got my pew at church, and everybody knows that you don't sit there because that's my pew. And everybody knows on Sunday morning I'm going to be leaving my house and going to church. So all my neighbors know. But I'm okay with that. But don't expect me to do more, to draw closer to God, to where He might call me to do something new. He might call me to sit in one of these first three pews. Whoo! God, don't do that. That would shake everything up. Then we wouldn't have any place for people to sit when somebody's being baptized. Because this is the baptismal pews right here. That's what we're going to name these, is the baptismal pews. You can't sit in these unless you have some family member being baptized. I'm joking. But we don't want God to change where we're at. We're comfortable where we're at. And so because of that, what that's really saying is I don't want to draw any closer. We talked about men's Bible study. I've got a paper downstairs on my wall. It's been down there for probably 30 years. and it says a man is only as holy as he wants to be. You are only as close to God as you want to be. And if you are content to live in Dan, then you will never get any closer to Shiloh. If you're content to live 10 miles away from Shiloh, then you'll never get any closer. How much closer do we want to be to God? That's your choice. But the farther you get away, the more content you are to stay away, before you know it, you will be worshiping a God. You'll be worshiping things, serving things that have no power, that you can control, but that can be nothing of what God intends for you to have, and you will miss out on everything he has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, help us to never be content, but to live intentional, constantly trying to draw closer to you. Lord, show us more of your glory. Help us to never be content, to be satisfied with what we know. Lord Jesus, change our hearts every day. In your name we pray. Amen.